You're singing there. Am I too loud, Ernie? I feel like I'm too loud. All right. It's good to be here tonight. I'll tell you, I'm encouraged by the music tonight, encouraged by the young people. Let me tell you this. If you play an instrument, it's time to join the orchestra, all right? And we'll have you make sure you can play a hymn, all right? Don't just say, blow the dust off it and come in and say, hey, I'm ready, all right? We might ask you, will you play a couple hymns for us? But if you play a few hymns, we got some strings over here, and I kind of felt lonely up here with my brass by myself, and I know some of you play some brass, and to get out of the closet, the New Year's over, Christmas is over, the holiday's over, all right? It's time to get with it, right? And so plan on that. Praise the Lord for these young people that played. You know, young people can serve God, can't they? Young people can make a difference. Young people, don't ever let anybody tell you you're too young to impact somebody, to give somebody a gospel tract. Let God use you, young people, right now, all right? Yeah, we know that you're the future church, but you're the present church. And don't think, hey, I got to wait until I get grown up to do something for the Lord. Do something for the Lord now, all right? Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be here for about 5 minutes, and then we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 32. Philippians chapter 4, we'll be here for about 5 minutes, and then we'll turn to Genesis chapter number 32. Actually, this message started in Genesis 32 as I read a story of the first recorded prayer in the Word of God that caused me to think, you know, this here to me is an illustration of Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4, we're going to read some familiar verses. I want to preach a message tonight that I've entitled, Turn Your Cares Into Prayers. Turn your cares into prayers. We all have cares, don't we? We all have things that put pressure on us. We have things that call for our attention. And what do we do about it? The Bible says this in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're admonished here in the Word of God to be careful for nothing. The word means to be pulled in different directions. Sometimes we can be pulled in different directions. We worry about our health. We worry about fulfilling our responsibilities. We worry about our children. We worry about our safety. We worry about being something in our lives, being out of control. Sometimes we even worry about the fact that we worry too much. Worrying displeases God. Why do we worry? We worry sometimes because we doubt the wisdom of God. God knows what He's doing. God is in control and does what's best. We worry because we doubt the power of God. Think, can God really get me through this? We worry because we doubt sometimes the goodness of God. As we look at the Word of God here, the cure for care, the cure for being anxious or careful for nothing is what? It is in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto God. We're admonished, really, we could say in this verse of Scripture, to turn our cares. The idea is all of us have tempted. We have temptations to worry. We have temptations to be burdened down. Interesting, we mentioned this morning, the peace of God which passeth all understanding. The idea of keeping or guarding our hearts, our minds, our emotions. Wow, we can have the peace of God. You say, yeah, but things in my life are upside down right now. We can still have the peace of God. You say, well, yeah, there's some uncertainties in my life, maybe in my health situation, my family, in my home situation, maybe in my financial situation, maybe in society, hey, maybe in the government, a lot of instability. You know, you say, hey, we can be tempted to worry, can't we? Do you know, through it all, we can experience the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And we've read this verse, and I've read this verse many times, and you think, okay, I have to give God these things that are weighing on my mind. I have to give God these cares, these anxieties. How do I do that? I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll kneel down and say, Lord, would you take this burden, and this thing's weighing me down, and I get up. And as I walk away from my prayer place there, what do I start thinking about? The thing I just supposedly gave to God. And you know, sometimes from a practical standpoint, we think, okay, how does this work? What I want us to do is I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 32. And I want us to look at the first recorded prayer in the Word of God. And I want us to see from this section of Scripture, I want to give you four practical steps that I think help when it comes to turning our cares into prayers. In Genesis 32, our text finds Jacob in a desperate strait. He's awaiting the reunion with his brother Esau, whom he hadn't seen for at least 20 years. The last time he saw his brother, he fled from the house of his father because he stole the birthright and blessing from his older brother Esau. As a matter of fact, turn back to Genesis 27 and look at verse number 41. And the Bible tells us concerning this issue between Esau and Jacob. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob." Jacob fled from home because Esau threatened to kill him. He's gone for at least 20 years. And God says to Jacob, "It's time for you to go back home." Jacob had learned a lot about trusting God and the consequences of deception. He had seen God's hand of blessing, and we'll look at this in a little bit, with his children and his cattle. If you look at verse number 6 of Genesis 32, it helps us to see the severity of the situation. Jacob is coming and headed back home. The Bible says he sent some messengers, and the messengers returned to Jacob. He sent some messengers to Esau ahead of time, and the messengers come back, and they say, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men are with him." The Bible says in verse 7, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." You ever been there? Ever found yourself greatly afraid or distressed because of the challenges that you face tomorrow or this week or the next day, or maybe the challenges that you're right in the middle of? Jacob is afraid for what? He's afraid for his life. He's afraid for his family, the life of his family, and the life of his children. Why? Because the last time he saw Esau, Esau said, "Hey, I'm going to kill him." And yet God directs him back home. And I want us to see what happens here in our text. Obviously, Jacob has a care. He's burdened. He's weighed down. And the Bible says in verse number 9, and from verse 9 to verse number 12, we read, to me, one of the greatest prayers. As we look at turning our cares into prayers, I want to give you four steps that I find in this section of Scripture. Actually, the last one comes from verse 24 through verse number 28, that familiar section of Scripture. Genesis 32, let me read these four verses, and then we'll look at some steps that I think, from a practical standpoint, will help us all to take our cares, our burdens, and turn them into prayers. And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And he lodged there that same night. Lord, I ask this evening that you would open up truth to us. Lord, we don't want to worry about anything. Lord, we're commanded in your word to be anxious for nothing. And yet, Lord, sometimes this can be a challenge in our lives. Lord, would you take truth and what we see here in this prayer of Jacob, and would you use it in our lives and help us, Lord, to be able to take these things that weigh us down on a regular basis and give them to you and experience the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you four words tonight, four steps to take and turn your cares into prayers. Number one, the word is consider. Consider. As we look at verse number 9, there were some things that Jacob considered as he faced this trial. Number one, they centered around God's ways. Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac." Essentially what Jacob says is this: "Lord, I know who you are. You're the God of my father, Isaac. You're the God of my grandfather, Abraham. Undoubtedly, he knew God's blessing on them. Undoubtedly, he knew that they walked with God and he had seen God work in their life. And as he comes to God, he considers, number one, who God is. He considers God's ways. As we continue in the verse, secondly, he considers God's will. He says this in verse number 9, "The Lord," in the middle of the verse, "which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred." Secondly, he essentially says to God, "Lord, I know who you are. But secondly, he says, "Lord, I am doing what you want." You see, the reason why Jacob was headed back to his homeland, the reason why Jacob was on this journey, is because God told him to go back home. Jacob appeals to God as he considers where he's at, as he considers his situation here, as he considers the challenge that he's about to face. He recognizes that this challenge came right in the center of God's will. Whoa. You know, the will of God for our lives isn't always peaches and cream, is it? There are difficulties. There are ups and downs. There are challenges that we all face, but we recognize that if I am in the center of God's will and I'm doing what God has called me to do, then I can face this challenge knowing and confident that this challenge came to me in the will of God. And Jacob recognizes this and says to God, "God, I know who you are, and God, I am doing what you want." And thirdly, as we look at this, go down to verse number 10, and he makes this statement as he talks to God in this prayer. He says, "For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands." He recognized God's work. He recognized, "Lord, I have seen what you have done in my life." When he had came to where he was, came to Laban, it was him and his little staff. And that was it. And what did God do? God blessed him abundantly. He got married. Had multiples of children, multiples of flocks. And as you read the scriptures and you see all this, the gift that he gives to Esau, you know that God's blessing was on his life. And as we stop just for a minute and look at our own lives and our own circumstances, the things that we face, as I recognize that some of these things can weigh us down, we have to stop and consider and recognize who God is. "Lord, I know who you are. Lord, I recognize that I'm doing what you want. Lord, I recognize that I have seen your blessing and I have seen your hand and I have seen you at work in my life." When we recognize that, it helps us to put our cares in the proper perspective. I've said this over and over again. A young child, I think it was it Wednesday night? Brother Shauger was putting his little coat there on little Maeve there, and little Maeve was crying. And if you could read little Maeve's mind, I don't know what she was really saying, but I was hearing her say, "Put this coat off me. You know, this is miserable. What are you doing to me, Dad?" Right? And I said to Pete, I said, "You know, she doesn't recognize that what you're trying to do is keep her warm, and you're trying to help her so that she doesn't get sick, but she doesn't recognize that. If she knew that, her perspective would be different as she allow her dad, here, put it on, put the hat, the gloves, right? If she understood that, could we call it a trial for her? If she understood it in perspective. As we look at our trials, we look at what Jacob's facing here with Esau, he's recognizing, hey, this is a big problem, and he has to come back to God and say, "Okay, God, I recognize who you are, and I'm doing what you want me to do. And I've seen you at work in my life in the past, and I'm going to consider these things as I look at this thing that's weighing me down." How often do we take a step back and look at God for who he is and recognize, hey, I'm in the center of your will? You see, we don't like difficulty. We run from difficulty. But sometimes difficulty is part of God's plan to grow us. You know, if you start at Planet Fitness, like Brother Matt here, if you start at Planet Fitness this year and you get on the little underneath the little weight bench, maybe Matt did that, it's painful. It's painful at first, but you say, hey, it's going to produce something. What? It's going to produce growth in my life physically. These trials that come into our lives grow us spiritually. And so number one, to take our cares and turn them into prayers, we have to consider. Number two, I want us to see, secondly, what we need to do is we need to call. We need to call. Jacob, in this prayer, says two things, or he says a lot of things, but two things I want us to see with regards to this. Number one, I want us to see his humility. He says in verse number 10, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Lord, I'm not worthy of your mercy. Do you know what humility does? Humility gives God's grace. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Jacob didn't say, now, Lord, look, I got all these kids, and I'm trying to do what I can, and I got all these cattle here, Lord, and I'm something, and you need me, Lord, and so you better deliver me here because I can't have my brother to kill me. No. There's a humble spirit. There's a humility about Jacob as he approaches God and as he calls upon the Lord. But secondly, there's an honesty in his life. Verse number 12, he says this, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. Hey, he is open and honest before God. He's transparent about where he is. He's transparent about what he's going through. There's a brokenness, and we'll see this as we get to the last section here with his wrestling with this man here, with the pre-incarnate Christ. We'll see this as God really breaks him. But there's an honesty and a humility about him. Lord, I need you. Do you know the Bible says God's ear is open to the cry of the righteous? God is not playing games with us. My child comes in and they say, Dad, hey, I'm thirsty. I need a drink. What I want to do as a parent, I want to give good things. God wants to give good things to us as his children. God's not playing games with us. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to bring deliverance in our life. But often we don't come to him in a humble, broken, contrite heart, the Bible says. The psalmist said, oh God, thou wilt not despise. A humility. We have an ego. We have a pride about us. This is why we want to compare ourselves with ourselves, right? The fact of the matter is, we need God. And we need God desperately. And I think sometimes God brings trials and difficulties in our lives that we can't bear to cause us to recognize, I can't do this. I need you, God. You see, it's one thing for us to say, I can't do this, and quit and give up. That's not God's intent at all. For us to come to a point where we say, Lord, I'm scared to death, I can't do this, but I need you. You see, that's what God's after. And as Jacob faces this care, this distress, this problem, he comes to God in humility. He calls upon God in humility and honesty, and he says, Lord, here's my problem, and I need you to deliver me, or I'm sunk. We like to figure it all out sometimes first. I've tried everything I can. I've tried everything. I've tried this. I've talked to everybody. Well, I guess I should pray about this, huh? And we kind of get it backwards, don't we? God wants us to call upon him in humility and in honesty. The third word is found in verse, it's not found in verse 12. We want to look at verse 12, and I give you the third word. The third word is the word claim. Here's what Jacob says. He's honest and humble before God. He's considered who he's talking to, and the fact that he's in God's will. And verse number 12, he says, and thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. He claims what God said. He says, God, you told me that you would do me good. God, you told me that you're good. Oh, that we need to remind ourselves about the goodness of God. Oh, God's good. I got $100 in my mailbox today. Hallelujah. Oh, man, God's good. I prayed for the car to get fixed, and woof, it got fixed. But how often do we say, God's good, I got a bill in the mail for $100, I got a bill in the mail. God's still good, isn't He? Yeah? God's good whether things are going good in my life or not going good in my life. And we need to remind ourselves and remind God, Lord, You are good. If God be for me, who can be against me? God, You are working all things together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. God, You're working this together for my good. And God, I got to remind You, hey, this is what You say. You say, Lord, we've got a Bible full of promises that we can claim that deal with our problems. What does He say? Not only you say you're going to do good, but You say, Lord, that You're going to make Thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Now think about this. Why is He claiming that? Because He's headed to see Esau. And there's 400 men coming at him. And the last that he heard when he talked to Esau was, hey, he's going to kill me. And he's scared to death. And what is he afraid of? He's afraid that his wives, his children are going to be hurt, killed by Esau. And so he comes to God and he says, God, You said You're going to do me good. Though this doesn't look good, You said You're going to do me good. I claim what You have said to me. God, You said that You're going to multiply my seed, and I'm taking my seed into the path here of Esau, and I'm afraid Esau's going to hurt it. And God, I can trust You because You said You're going to take care of my seed. You're going to bless. You're going to be multitudes of the sea. Claiming the Word of God. Do you know whatever need we face, whatever need you're facing right now, whatever the thing is that's weighing you down the most, the thing that you wake up and think about, do you know there's a promise in God's Word that will take care of that problem? You know, worrying is meditating on my problems, right? People that worry, that are anxious, that are careful for things in our lives are great meditators. The issue is we have to transfer our meditation and not meditate on our anxiety, on our burdens, or the things that distress us. And we need to meditate on the truth of the Word of God and the promises that God has given us to deal with the things that we face in our life on a regular basis. The reason why we kneel down and we say, Lord, take this burden, and we get up and we think about this burden often is because we haven't knelt down, and we'll see this in a minute, long enough to get a promise from the Word of God to help us to meditate on this promise for this problem. You see, the Word of God is full of promises that we can claim. And we can say to God, yes, I've got this problem. I got this thing that's weighing me down. But You said this, Lord, about this need in my life, and I am resting on what You said and not going to focus on the need in my life, but I'm going to claim the truth of the Word of God. That's what Jacob did, didn't he? Jacob claimed the truth of the Word of God. Number one, consider. Number two, call. Number three, claim. Number four, commit. We see in Genesis chapter 24, I'll let you read the verses for sake of time in between. He rose up, took his wives, verse 22, two women servants and his 11 sons, they passed over. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. When he saw that he prevailed not, we're in Genesis 32, verse 25, against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall no more be called, shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God, and with men hast prevailed. We see here a picture of prevailing prayer. We live in a day, microwave ovens, heat it up, you know, get it done. If it's too hot, we take it from the microwave, and what do? We put it in the freezer. It'll cool it off a little bit, right? Everything's... God wants us to prevail in prayer. And sometimes I'm convinced, I've already alluded to this already, that we need to stay on our knees long enough for God to give us a promise, for God to give us a word for the problem that is weighing us down. Jacob said this, I'm not leaving unless you bless me. I'm not leaving unless I have your blessing and know that your hand is on my life. And I think as we face the challenges that we face, we have to get to a point in our prayer lives where we say, God, I'm not leaving. Lord, I'm not leaving my prayer room. I'm not leaving my prayer closet, Lord, until I've got a word from you, until I've got a promise from your word, until I have an assurance, and I have an assurance of your care. Until, we could say it this way, maybe not till the problem is necessarily solved, because sometimes our problems aren't solved that quick. But till the burden is lifted, till the anxiety is gone, and I recognize, Lord, I can rest in you and rest in what you're doing. It's interesting. There's a lot more we could say here. But what happens? God intervenes. If you look at chapter number 33, Jacob lifts up his eyes. And behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. He divided the children to Leah and unto Rachel and unto two of the handmaids, and he put the handmaids and the children foremost. He still has a little strategy here. Verse 4, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. He lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children and said, whose are those with thee? And he said, the children with God had graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children. They bowed themselves, and Leah also with her children. And what do we have? We have a wonderful reunion. And Esau said, I have enough. He says, what are you giving me all this stuff for? And Esau said, I have enough. And Jacob says, no, would you take my offering? And I'll let you read the rest. You're familiar with the story, probably many of you are. It's a great reunion. What Jacob did in a time of distress, in a time of burdened, in a time where he was weighed down, is he got on his face before God and he considered, you're the God of Abraham, God of Isaac. Do you know what we can say? You're the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Daniel, and we got a whole list of people, Peter and Paul, and you could take 10 minutes just saying, God, you're the God of, and list all the people in the Word of God. And then we could go beyond that, couldn't we? We could say, you're the God of my mom. For a long time, I saw God through the eyes of my mother. She'd pray and things would happen. And I said, God answers mom's prayers. I need God to answer my prayers. The list could go on and on. Consider who God is. The fact that, hey, I'm in God's will and doing what God wants. And then what? Call upon him. Lord, this thing, we don't like to say this, right? We don't ever like to admit the problems that we have. Do you worry? Once in a while, right? We know when it comes to us assessing our sins, you know. Like I told you, I used to ask people, how much you read your Bible? Not like I should, which was a big cover for, no, I'm not reading it at all, right? God doesn't want us here to say, Lord, sometimes, once in a while, I worry when the truth is, and maybe it is once in a while, but maybe the truth is, God, I worry all the time. Lord, I got a big problem here with worry. You know, you can't help somebody until they recognize that they have a problem. And God already knows, this is the funny thing about it, God already knows about our problem and how big it is and how much it weighs us down anyway. It's interesting, confess, say the same thing as God says about our sin. That's what God's telling us, because God knows our hearts, right? We don't like to say the same thing that he says about our sin. Lord, this is wicked, this is wrong, right? We know that, you know, drinking alcohol, getting drunk, you know, these things. Wow, that's sin. Whoa. But you know what? Worry's sin too. Yeah, the fear and the anxiety. Yeah, that's a sin too. We had to come to God and say, God, this is a problem, and I've got this problem. And Lord, I need you to help me with this problem. We call upon him. And then what do? Lord, I'm going to claim your truth. I'm going to take this problem, and I'm going to find a promise to go with this problem. You say, I got a financial need in my life. All right, there's a whole bunch of promises in the Word of God that can deal with this. I'm going to start memorizing them. I'm going to start meditating. God shall supply all my need. You see, I'm going to take my problem and I'm going to find a solution in the Word of God. And instead of focusing on my problem and looking at it from all sides and what if this and that and the other, I'm going to take a Word of God. I'm going to look at this verse. I'm going to look at this verse from all sides. I'm going to say, man, look at this verse and look at what this means. And wow, here's a crossword that goes with it. And I'm going to start claiming the truth of the Word of God. And then what? Then I'm going to commit. God, I have got to get victory over this issue, whatever it is. Well, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do what I have to do. I need you to work. Jacob wrestled with the pre-incarnate Christ all night. There was a persistence. There was a prevailing there. And boy, all that God would grow us in that area in our lives. I trust as we look at the things that we face, we'll let God free us from the cares of this world. And we'll practice taking our cares and turning them into prayers so that the end result can be ours. What? The peace of God that passeth all understanding. What an end result. Whew. That's my heart cry. Lord, we love you tonight.